Turn with me to Psalm 27, Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm that really says a lot about the things that we've been talking about this morning. What are you afraid of? Long sermons, that's what you're afraid of, right? My wife is afraid of heights. When we were in Colorado a couple weeks ago in the Denver area, someone recommended that we go to this gorge that, I don't know how many thousands of feet deep it is, but there's a little suspension bridge that goes across the gorge and you can walk across it. No. We didn't go to the gorge. When I was a kid, I was afraid of clowns, fire trucks, and bagpipes. And since we lived close to Romeo, every year we went to the Peach Festival Labor Day Parade in Romeo, where I saw all of my fears coming at me one by one. Childhood fears are one thing. We grow up and we discover that the things that we feared really aren't that scary after all. But there are other situations that can be tremendously fearsome. This psalm, it doesn't really indicate what the circumstances were in David's life that led to the writing of it, but traditionally, it's been connected with the time when he was running from King Saul, who was pursuing him with the armies of Israel to kill him. And so in verse 3, we kind of get a clue of that. David says, an army, even though an army is encamped against me. Imagine that. One guy and there's an army encamped against you. That'd be a pretty tough situation. Verse 12, he talks about people who had made false accusations against him with violent intent, and certainly that would be true of King Saul, who basically presented the idea that David was a danger to Israel. So I imagine there were days during that time in his life that David felt like the whole world was against him. You ever feel that way? Like the whole world is against you. You're just kind of standing alone. Saul's army was out there looking for him. He never knew when he would crest a hill or round a bend and find himself face to face with that army whose sole purpose was to track him down. And he speaks of that aloneness. He kind of reflects on it a little bit in verse 10. He says, "My father and mother have forsaken me." Not probably they hadn't actually forsaken him, but that's kind of the feeling. No one, even those that are closest to me, I don't feel like they're there for me right now. As Mary mentioned a few minutes ago, our prayer focus this morning is on is for the persecuted church. You may have noticed the banner in the narthex when you came in the door this morning, with the Arabic symbol in red written on the banner. That is the letter Nun, which is used as a derogatory term for Christians, because it represents those who follow the Nazarene. And so that letter has actually become a symbol for support and solidarity with those who are persecuted, because we all, whether we live in the relative freedom of American society or whether we face persecution in many places around the world, we all are followers of the Nazarene. Amen. We are one with them. Andrew Brunson, just an example of that, is a missionary and pastor in Turkey, and he was arrested in 2016, soon after the coup attempt in Turkey. He was accused of being a terrorist, of spying on the Turkish government and attempting to overthrow the government. And he has been in jail since he was arrested in October of 2016. And at his trial, even his own church members testified against him, perhaps recognizing that they had a difficult choice to make themselves. And now he's under house arrest, and that puts him in even greater danger, because he is more vulnerable outside of prison than he is inside prison to mob brutality and violence. Difficult situations. People's lives under threat. Fearful situations. And we can face fearful circumstances as well in our own lives. Fear of losing a job, or fear for our children. Fear of facing a difficult person or having to confront someone with an issue. We've talked this morning about those that are facing serious illness and the possibility that life will never be the same. Those kinds of things, they kind of stir up fears in us, don't they? And sometimes fear can get a foothold in our lives and leave us feeling anxious and weak. Doesn't that do that? It just kind of drains your strength away. We lose our sense of confidence, and we feel alone, and we wrestle with despair, and we look out into the future, and we don't see anything good. In Daniel Defoe's story of Robinson Crusoe, he illustrates how fear can take hold of a person. As you know, Robinson Crusoe is about a man who was shipwrecked on a deserted island, and he found that even though he was in a difficult situation, he could make a life for himself. He was resourceful. and he was able to build himself a home, and he started to grow his own food, and he invented all kinds of ingenious ways to make life easier for himself. But one day he saw a footprint in the sand, and he realized that he was not alone on the island. He was being watched. Fear took hold and began to consume his thoughts, and his strength melted away, and soon he could no longer even function. And this is what Robinson Crusoe, reflecting on his experience, says in the book. He says, "My fear banished all my religious hope. All that former confidence in God, which was founded upon such wonderful experiences I had had of his goodness, now vanished, as if the one who had miraculously taken care of my needs to that point could no longer preserve me." And that really is insightful, I think, because it reflects what often happens when we wrestle with fear. When we succumb to fear, faith usually goes out the window. We lose our confidence in God, and sometimes we forget God altogether. But just as fear can banish faith, faith also banishes fear. I love what John says in 1 John 4:18. He's talking about the fear of standing in the presence of God in judgment. But John says, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear." And if there was a theme that we could put on this psalm, I think that would be it. Perfect love casts out fear. David was facing tremendous danger. There was great cause for fear, and he knew that his life could be taken from him at any time, and yet he maintained his composure. And this psalm is oozing with confidence. Listen to some of the things that he says. He says, "Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? I will be confident," he says in verse 3. "I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Not because he's good, but because God is good, right? At the end he says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage." Really, when you look at this psalm, it kind of goes back and forth a little bit. David goes through periods of pleading with the Lord, "Lord, don't turn your face from me. Rescue me. Save me." He is calling out to him, and then those statements of confidence. And what I get a sense of is that David is wrestling with fear. He is about to be overcome, and he is reminding himself. He is working through it in the strength of the Lord. So I want to look at, just make several observations from this psalm, that things that David did that enabled him to find confidence in the face of a difficult situation. And I hope that they will be encouraging to us, instructive to us when we face similar kinds of things. Three things that I want to just observe that David did. First of all, he didn't allow his situation to be a reason to question God's goodness or God's love for him. Right? Too often when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, we conclude that God has forgotten us. He doesn't care what we're going through, and he's just abandoned us. And kind of like the people of Israel, who every time they faced a new obstacle, their first impulse was to say, "We're all going to die. What kind of God is this that has led us out of Egypt? How could he let this happen to us?" Let's go back. Let's go back to the land of slavery. Fear banishes faith. But David didn't do that. He didn't allow his circumstances to dictate what he believed about God. I'm going to say that again. David didn't allow his circumstances to dictate what he believed about God. He didn't judge God by his circumstances. Instead, he judged his circumstances by what he knew to be true about God. He was Israel's most wanted. Even though he had committed no crime, Saul's army was chasing him down to kill him. But what does he say? He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." So that's the first thing. David didn't judge God by his circumstances. He didn't question God's goodness or his love when he found himself in a difficult situation. Instead, he found great strength and courage in the midst of his circumstances because he knew that God loved him and he knew that God was with him. Even as Saul's armies were chasing him down. Second thing that David did and is reflected in this psalm is that rather than allowing his fears to consume his thoughts, he filled his mind with truth. And that's another thing that fear does, right? It just, occupies our whole mind. Every waking moment, it's there, lurking in the background. David made a decision not to go there. Instead, to fill his mind and to fill his thoughts with truth. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Keep my mind focused on you." In times of fear and turmoil, when it seems that difficult circumstances are going to overwhelm us, that is the time to cry out to the Lord. "Lord, remind me what is true. Teach me your way." Why is it that in those times we are sometimes least inclined to cry out to the Lord? Another thing that just is worth noting here is that in order for us to be able to do that, in order for us to be able to focus on what is true in times of trial and difficulty, we have to know the Word, right? We have to know what God says. David rehearsed the truth. He meditated on what he knew to be true about God. And these are some of the things that he reminded himself of. He says, he talks about the fact that the Lord is our protector. He says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. He will hide me in his shelter. He will lift me high upon a rock." There's another place in the Psalms where it says, "The Lord is our strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved." Another thing that he reminded himself of is that the Lord was the one who was going to fight this battle. His enemies were far too strong for him. If you imagine a whole army against one man or a small band of men that were hiding out with David, if it were up to him, there certainly would be no hope. But this was not his battle. This was the Lord's battle, and the Lord would achieve a victory that David could never have achieved on his own. And sometimes we too need to remind ourselves of that. The battles that we face are not our responsibility to win. These are the Lord's battles. David says, he talks about his adversaries coming up against him, but it is they who will stumble. Not because David's going to make that happen, but because God is his protector. Thirdly, he reminds himself that he is not alone. As we said, he probably felt very alone, and he says, "My father and mother have forsaken me." Probably not true, but even if it were true, he says, "The Lord will take me in." We are never alone. We feel alone sometimes. And that's why we need to counter that overwhelming fear that wants to draw us in. We need to counter that with truth. The truth is, you are never alone. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is always with us. He also reminded himself that God keeps his promises. He says in verse 13, "I believe that I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." If this is about that season when David was on the run from Saul, then it expresses, I think, his confidence that his life would be spared to see better days. Not all of us have that kind of promise, but David had that kind of promise from the Lord. Because God had chosen him to be the next king. And if God had chosen him to be the next king, then his life was going to be spared this difficulty that he was facing. And God has made promises to us as well. He promises us that no one can take us out of his hand, and that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. As Pastor Chad reminded us last week, he is at work, even in the difficult things, using them for good for those who trust him. Those and many, many other promises are promises of truth that he gives to us to hold on to when fear raises its head. So, he doesn't judge God by his circumstances. He reminds himself of what is true in the face of fear. And finally, the third thing that David does in this psalm is to rest in the intimacy of God's presence. And that comes across here as a deliberate choice made in obedience to God. In verse 8, David says, "You have said, seek my face." And he responds, "My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. In this time, I will seek your face." And in verse 4, he expresses that his heart's desire is for intimacy with God, to abide in his presence, and to gaze upon his beauty, to know that God is with us. Not just to know it in our heads, but to engage in that fellowship and communion with the Lord. And you know what? We don't have to go to church to do that. We don't have to be in the temple to do that. You can do it in a prison cell. You can do it in the midst of painful and fearful circumstances. To enjoy that communion that God wants to have with us because he loves us, and to rest in the intimacy of his presence because he is always near. So David ends this psalm, and really a psalm where we see him wrestling against that specter of fear and coming out strong and confident. He says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. and wait for the Lord. Get a sense he's kind of giving himself a pep talk. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and wait for the Lord. I don't know what you're going through today. Some of you, totally life is bliss. Good on you. Others may be struggling with the specter of fear, facing difficult circumstances, wrestling with inner turmoil. Perhaps fear has already gotten the upper hand. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words from your servant of long ago. We thank you for his insight and for his example as he himself wrestled with difficult circumstances and wrestled with the specter of fear. Lord, we confess that there are times when we are overcome, when it is difficult to keep the fears at bay, when circumstances come against us. And yet, Lord, we thank you that you have given us a lifeline. You have given us a way through it. And so we pray. We pray that you will give us strength not to judge you by our circumstances, but to draw our strength from our confidence that you love us. We pray that you will give us by your Spirit, the ability to recall the many promises that you have made to us and confirmed by the gift and sacrifice of your Son. And that we would be able to hold on to those promises so that truth can see us through in times of fear. And we pray, Father, that you will lead us wherever we are, whatever we face, into your presence, that we might rest in your love. For as your word says, perfect love casts out fear. Strengthen us, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.